Good morning, and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, and today we are continuing to read from the Big Book, the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 103, the first paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance through to anything about alcohol by one who hates it. Someone is unmuted. If you could mute yourself, thank you. Today's readers are Leslie M., who will read the text, Julie E.B., A Vision for You, and Shelley E. is our backup. Alex K. is our newcomer greeter, and Robin P. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, June 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 22,510. And for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, June 11th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, is 22,512. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Laurie T. to read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Laurie.
Okay, hi, this is Laurie T. from California. Grateful to be here. Number one, we admitted we were tired that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to those people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will, for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that through. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to protect these principles in all our affairs.
Okay, thank you. I will now ask Kathleen C. in Connecticut to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, it's Kathleen C. from Connecticut. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity in films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. All right, here we go. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 103, and we are going to read and comment on the paragraph, "We are careful never to show intolerance," through to the end of that paragraph, "told anything about alcohol by one who hates it." And I will now ask the lovely Leslie M. to start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Leslie.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temper and drinking any good, for not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. I certainly know that this was the case for me, and I have to say I've been around in OA. This year I've been in OA for 35 years. I first got recovered about 7 years ago, but for that first 28 years I was doing it my way, and there was a lot of intolerance and a lot of hatred and a lot of, when I was abstinent, I was much better than you. I'm so grateful that I finally started, you know, studying this Big Book and learning that my goal was not abstinence. My goal was love and tolerance, you know, acceptance of others, wherever they are, whatever they do, you know. And I have to say that I have finally, you know, I'm human, so I'm never perfect. You know, I just recently spoke at a meeting last week about judgment, and I still have that in my mind. You know, I do whatever I can. I pray, you know, but I know that I know that today, you know, my actions are different, you know. So I know that, you know, by telling someone else to do, and this last sentence is what got me now, was, "For not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it." I didn't want to be told anything about food by anybody. It didn't matter if they liked it or they hated it or they thought they were helping me. I didn't want to hear what they had to say, you know, until I finally surrendered to this, to my disease, knowing that I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And that, you know, my thinking, and that's, you know, that's been a major part of my disease, is that my thinking is what's going to take me back to the food every single time. So that was what, you know, when I finally had a first step of experience, I am not just powerless over the food, I'm also powerless over my thinking. So I have to remember that on a daily basis so that I know that, you know, I don't need to tell anyone else anything. You know, the only thing that I have to share is my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, as I said, you know, I first got recovered 7 years ago. And I'm very, very grateful for that because my life is entirely different. And I don't come at people saying, this is what you have to do. I simply say, this is what works for me. And I'm very grateful to have learned that. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service, Susan.
Thank you so much for yours, Leslie. All right. So before we go to sharing, you may have come on in the middle of Leslie's talk, and we are on page 103. We're in the chapter Working with Others, and today we are commenting on this one paragraph. We are careful never to show intolerance through to alcohol by one who hates it. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if this is your third day on either vision meeting, would you please give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from today? And it's star one to unmute. Who would like to
Veronica
share this
B.
morning? Thank you, Veronica.
Julie Kathleen B. O.
Julie E. Hi. B. And then who?
Kathleen O.
Is there a Kathleen? Kathleen
yes.
O. Okay. And
Sherry,
I know
B.
where Veronica's from. Sherry, I know where some of you are from and some of you I don't. Anyone else like to join this first lineup? Going once, going twice. All right, so I have Veronica B, Julie E.B., Kathleen O, and Sherry Z. And if you can all announce where you're from, even if we know, it just helps if people want to call you from the phone list. All right, Veronica, you are up first. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you, Susan, for your service. I'm going to focus in on the word intolerance. I looked it up and it says, intolerance, unwillingness to accept views, beliefs, or behavior that differed from one's own. That's a tall order, because when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I had a really closed mind. My mind was closed to anybody's or experience about anything for that matter. All I knew is I came into Overeaters Anonymous and I was desperate and I was lonely and I was in the food. I could not stop eating and throwing up. And when I worked these steps, I got a God of my understanding. And, you know, it's mentioned the word intolerance here twice. And if I don't change, if I don't let God change me, I'm going to continue to behave the way I did yesterday. And I'm going to continue to struggle and suffer. And if I show any intolerance towards another member or another sick individual, I'm at risk of pushing them away, or they'll walk away saying that, you know, OA is not helpful. People in OA aren't helpful, you know, because I could get judged by just one action, you know, and they'll judge as a whole. So I have to be very careful how I treat people that come into Overeaters Anonymous. And also I have to be careful how I treat my family, for that matter, or anybody that comes across my path, you know, because when I mistreat people, when I treat people with intolerance, I feel really disconnected to God when I treat others with intolerance. And you know, and the smugness of me anyways to think that I, you know, even have the right to treat people with intolerance. And I'm not perfect. I don't do things perfectly, but I am so hyper aware today of how I treat other people, because I've had my spiritual awakening. I am fully awake. I doesn't get any more awake than this. I am fully awake and very aware of how I treat other people. And I have to be very careful when I meet newcomers in the rooms of Warriors Anonymous. I have to welcome them with open hands, open arms, and meet them where they're at. And that goes for anybody that comes across my path today as a human being.
That's time, Veronica.
And thank you so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Julie E.B. in Colorado. Thank you, Julie.
Hi, I'm Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado, compulsive over and under eater. And I'm really grateful to be on this meeting and so grateful to hear these kind words about witch burners. You know, the reality that's just an ugly story. It's all about pointing the finger. And it seems that even pointing the finger at the food, because this paragraph is about expressing hatred or intolerance towards the food, my alcoholic foods, ingredients, and behaviors, even that level of intensity can be destructive and make people not open. You know, this doesn't work for me, but I don't know what works for you, and I certainly have to try everything. Until I was dying at age 42. There are times when I've had resentments about food industry or food this or what's in that, but I discovered that I'm the problem. And if I'm the problem, there's a solution, and I'm the problem, and my higher power loves me anyway. So I think this is just a wonderfully helpful teaching for me, to remind myself that the problem is not sugar, as it'll say in two paragraphs. The bottles are but a symbol. The problem is that I'm in full flight from reality. I don't want to live in reality. I don't want to tolerate the feelings I have. I want to skip over certain things in life. I don't want to live with my past, my present, or my future as I fear it. And so it turns out this program is a program that takes away hatred and shame and resentment and fear and guilt, and replaces it with love and tolerance. And so many of you have been kind to me through the years. And every time we encounter something that's not loving or tolerant, it's just a chance for us to learn, for me to learn, I should say, what I sound like sometimes. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Next, we have Kathleen O. And Kathleen, if you could let us know where you're calling from this morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. And I would say eating unhealthy food is definitely an institution. And I know for me, I never, even now, I don't want to be told what to do. I don't want to be told what to think. And yet, being human, I like to do that. And I'm really so much more aware now of not doing that. It doesn't do any good. And I'm just talking in life in general. I'm not talking about telling another compulsive overeater how they should think or what they should do. And particularly someone new. So if I'm showing any kind of behaviors or beliefs that is not what the other person is feeling or thinking or believing, it doesn't do any good. It makes it worse. And I love the word in here, stupidity. Had it not been for such stupidity. Because we don't want to push people away by being, you know, holier than thou. And the word witch hunters, not being, where is that line? Anyway, there's something about witch hunters in there. And, you know, that's basically persecution of people accused of witchcraft. So we're not going to hunt people down and take them out just because they don't have, you know, they're overweight and they have an unhealthy lifestyle. If they end up here, they're wanting to change, and it's a matter of waiting until they're ready to change. Because I know that had to happen to me. When I was ready, and the program worked. And I'm just so grateful. And I can't tell you, every day, again, being human, my thoughts will go to being intolerant, being judgmental, being critical. But I'm getting better and better because I get to practice every day of just replacing those thoughts with love and tolerance. Not everybody's like me, thank goodness. And love and tolerance is so important, and being someone who can be supportive to someone who's looking for an answer, and going by example and sharing my experience, if anyone wants to hear it, this program does work. And thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. in Northern California. Next, we are staying in California in Los Angeles. Sherry, you are up.
Thank you, Susan. I'm Sherry Z, recovering in Southern California, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Leslie, for that beautiful opening.
Oops, Sherry, did you press mute by mistake?
Forgive me. I accidentally muted myself because I am human and I don't like to admit that. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
So this chapter that we've been in for a while now is called Working with Others. It doesn't say working with people in program or working with sponsees or working with sponsors. It's working with others. And my disease is so shocking to me because I'm 35 plus years in the rooms and the last four years in recovery in the vision rooms. And my son came home from college 25 pounds heavier. And I'm first day making comments like, did you go to a trainer? I could set up a trainer. Do you want to? I literally said to my nanny, you know, maybe we should take all the sweets out of the house. And love and tolerance was not my code. Judgment was my code. And it reminds me how sneaky this disease is. So fortunately, I have a program today and I was able to talk to my son and make amends. And his response to me was, this is not helpful to you or to me. And it says it right there in the book. It says it right in our paragraph today. This is not helpful to anyone. It's not helpful to him, but it's not helpful to me because it activates my disease. It activates all the defects of character, of judgment, and how I think the world should be, and control. And it literally activates everything that I am working towards. And I'm thinking this is helping him. That's how twisted my thinking is. And this is after many days, many meetings, I mean, many working through the steps, because what I'm offered each day is a daily reprieve. And I like to think that I have savings in the bank and I don't have to do the daily work every day, especially when I'm traveling. And I have to remind myself, and actually my son was there to remind me, this is not helpful to anyone. There is no sort of yesterday's shower works for smelling clean today. What works is the action every day. And love and tolerance has to be my code. Like, otherwise I'm not helpful. And that's not what God wants for me. I could hear it as I was saying it. And I have to also forgive myself that I'm human. And my defects of character are not going to be obliterated. They're slowly going to disappear over time with daily work. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sherry Zed in Los Angeles. All right, so before we take the next round of names, a reminder where we are, page 103. You've heard a lot of the words in here. We are careful never to show intolerance through to about alcohol by one who hates it. So that one paragraph. And if today is your third day, we would love to hear from you. And if you could star one and unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Okay.
Sandy K.
Sandy K. Florida. Where are you from?
Florida.
Thank you.
Julie B., Oregon.
Thank you, Julie.
K.S., Iowa.
K.S. in Iowa. Okay.
Mary B. Anybody from else? Kansas.
Mary B. in Kansas. Probably have time for one or two more in this group. If not, we can start and come back. Going once, going twice. All right, so I have Sandy K., Julie B., K.S., and Mary B. So would everybody other than Sandy K. in Florida please mute their line? And Sandy, good morning and over to you.
Good morning. Thank you very much for letting me do service. This is Sandy K., grateful, compulsive overeater in South Florida. I wasn't going to share on this because I think I have nothing to share, but however, I do. there's a couple of sides to this coin. And one side was a family member of mine who could not tolerate heavy or fat people. And I remember years ago when I was a teenager, him going over to a woman who he didn't know and looked at what she was wearing. And I swear he was like 2 feet from her face and shook his head like, no, you shouldn't be doing that. And I remember that. He was, again, I was a teenager. I'm now in my 70s. So I grew up with that this is just not acceptable. Thank goodness I got into program and recovered before he left this earth. But I need to see the other side of why people do gain weight. And it wasn't just because they like to eat. The other thing is, as somebody else said, intolerance is not just focused on a sponsee. It's really who I choose to be friends with in out, but I'm talking about now out of the program. And if I go on Facebook, a lot of times people will not, they don't tolerate that I might be from a different political party. And they, you know, they block you. I don't think that's happened to me, but I know it's happened to a lot of people. And I'm tolerant over other people's political views. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean I want to be their best friends, but I'm certainly tolerant. They're entitled to that. And it's not helpful if I say to them, what, are you crazy? So intolerance goes both ways. The way people look at me when I was heavy and not understanding at all that it wasn't just a physical thing. It had to do my, the twist of my mind and the compulsion. Or people that I speak to on the street every day, not just my sponsees. I need to be tolerant. And I actually ask in the 11th step at night, ask God to show me the way of acceptance. It makes me feel better and the people around me better.
That's time, Sandy.
Thank you. And they're more willing to come to me. I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. in South Florida. Next, we have Julie B. in Oregon. Good morning, Julie. Julie, star one to unmute. I'm sure you're trying to.
You can hear me now? Sorry.
Yes, thank you. Go ahead. That's okay. Please, go ahead.
Just learning all this. My name's Julie B., and I'm a compulsive overeater and from Oregon. Very grateful to all of you for your service and setting up this meeting. I know it's a big commitment. I know that alcoholism is a family disease, and I think that food addictions are also a family disease. In my case, it's three generations of women. My mother was anorexic throughout most of my life, and she ended up dying of anorexia, and I took care of her. And as you can imagine, you know, watching somebody struggle with that, well, she didn't really struggle. She enjoyed it, actually. made an impact on me. And she constantly made little innuendos about what I thought I had a normal weight, but eat, you know, you'd have 3 pieces of lettuce and a diet lifesaver for dessert. And if I had a regular meal, she would just raise an eyebrow, you know, just like this little insinuation, you know, are you eating French fries? So I struggle with overeating and then restricting, overeating, restricting. Now my daughter is obese. So that's her struggle. She's obese. And I noticed the other day we were talking about something and I started getting into her business and I started saying, well, I have a nutritionist. Would you like their number? I've joined OA. Would you like the number? What kind of a support group do you have? Would you like to have us? I really started getting into her business. She's very good at saying, Mom, back off. And I said, oh, sorry. But you know, when I thought about it, I was having a bad day at work. And I think I had a bad day at work, and my normal reaction would be to get a drive-through caramel frappuccino, and I didn't do that because I'm abstinent, and yay. But it expressed itself in another way. I came home and started getting in my daughter's food business, and I think that is something for me to be aware of, and it certainly didn't help her, and it made me feel really bad. And I did apologize. I made my amends to her. I said, I'm so sorry. It's none of my business. It's a day-by-day struggle. So anyway, thank you very, very much. I'm learning so much in 2 weeks. I can't tell you how much I've learned in 2 weeks. I'm grateful to all of you. Thanks. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie B. in Oregon, and we are grateful that you are here with us as well. Next, we have K.S. in Iowa. Thank you, Kay.
Hi, this is K.S. from Iowa, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you. We can.
Okay, thanks. Well, thank you, everyone here, for your service. I really appreciate it. These meetings are one of the foundations of my program, one of the bricks in my foundation. I love this paragraph because it reminds me how important it is for me to stay spiritually fit every day. And even though, like with working out physically, we can get really in good shape, but if we don't do something every day, we lose our muscle and we just don't keep it. We have to work at it. And I believe that my spiritual program is the same. And intolerance. I love this paragraph because it really shows wherever my ego is getting bigger than my humility, where I think I know what's best for someone, or I'm judging, or I'm, you know, sure I know what you need. And, you know, it just sounds so controlling, the whole thing. And very arrogant. It's got all that stuff in there that I know is not, when it's present in my spirit, that I am not in a good place. And I love the definition of tolerance, the willingness to tolerate something, in particular, the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. And I just love that because it just takes all the ego out of how I am approaching my day, and like not fighting anyone or anything, but just bringing that spirit to of humility, love, and tolerance throughout my day, whether it's the compulsive overeater or just the cashier at the grocery store. I think it reminds me that I am just equal with everybody else, and we're all fighting battles, some of them that we never know are there, very invisible battles. Our battle, sometimes we wear it, so it's a little more obvious that we might be struggling, but we never know because there's all kinds of ways that people struggle. So anyway, this just brings me back. If I really want to be helpful, which I do, that's part of my spiritual program, is to be of use to my higher power. I need humility. And this paragraph tells me about the dangers and the offness of my ego or intolerance. And I just don't want to be that way in the world. And so that's all I got. Thank you for everybody for being here. And I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much, KS in Iowa. Next, we're going to Kansas. Good morning, Mary B.
Good morning, and thank you all for your service this morning. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater who's recovered and through the grace of God. Well, I wasn't going to share at all, and I've already listened to one meeting this morning, but then I heard someone speak about a family member and the intrusion. I'm just paraphrasing, not paraphrasing, just saying what I think for myself, I've done the same thing as intrude upon my husband's journey through compulsive eating, compulsive overeating, bulimia, and the struggles that we've had as a married couple of 43 years living with each other as compulsive overeaters and with other character flaws too, and struggles in other programs. Anyway, so this, I don't like the word tolerance. As a teacher, I never really liked it because I know when our district started promoting, you know, tolerance for everyone, it wasn't love and tolerance. It was tolerance and acceptance. And it was like, okay, they may be different, but we're going to accept them. We'll tolerate. And me, I just heard the definition of tolerate, but it's also like putting up with. You put up with it whether you like it or not. It's not your opinion. And I think we should do more than that. So when I tolerated my husband's overeating, and I just retired, and I knew I was going to enter into a new realm of being at home with him and seeing him eat his foods and me eating my foods, and me wanting to welcome him to join in with my foods, join in with me in exercise and so forth. And it just occurred to me that my spiritual slip lately has been me trying to do more than that, trying to do more than, like, okay, let's go to the gym. Are you ready to go to the gym? And that kind of thing. And I know better than that. And it never even occurred to me that that's the problem I'm having right now, is that I need to leave him alone and let him go through his journey as it may be. And what I can do for him is I can pray for him, and I can be there for him when he's ready, when he wants my support. And so I really have to look at this word differently, because it doesn't mean that I can't love him. It's something, I already love him, but I go beyond that. Just like with my students, I love my students, and I may have to tolerate their behavior. And that's what I have to do. I love him, but I can't change his behavior. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary B. in Kansas. Okay, well, we still have some time. So if this is your third day to share, please star one and unmute and tell us, you know, your interpretation and what you see on page 103, the paragraph, "We are careful never to show intolerance." Who would like to share this morning?
This is Lee.
I hear Lee, and then I saw somebody else with an S or an F. I feel like it was a Pam.
No.
This is Trudy B. from Maryland. I would like to share.
Trudy B. from Maryland. And Lee, you'll give us your last initial and where you're from when you share. So I've got Lee and Trudy. Who else?
Nancy L.J., California.
Thank you, Nancy. Let's stop there in case we run out of time. So I have Lee, Trudy, and Nancy. And Lee, if you could start us off and give us your last initial and where you're calling from, please, this morning. Thank you. Lee, star one to unmute, please.
This Lee?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lee.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I got cut off. I'm Lee, a compulsive overeater. I, too, wasn't going to share, but...
And where are you from, Lee?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from New Mexico.
Great. Thank you. Go
Lee
ahead.
Lee F. Thank you. And, yes, the shares have just been so compelling, and my sponsor has been encouraging me. I listen to recorded meetings mostly, so this is great. And I just had this kind of aha, not really aha, but I don't really tolerate myself. I don't really, like, right now I'm carrying extra weight, going through menopause, the whole thing, and I'm not very tolerant of that. And that leads me to not being tolerant of others. You know, my first thought of, you know, oh, they need to be doing this. And it causes me to kind of point the finger the other way because I'm not very tolerant of myself. And what I've heard is, you know, and kind of how I interpret it, it's really about acceptance again. And that one's tricky. That one is tricky when I'm not in a fit spiritual place. And, you know, and again, it is a day by day thing. And so this has just encouraged me to just really kind of pay attention today of where my thoughts and actions are. And just, you know, yesterday was a little tricky. And so, you know, today here we are, brand new day. So yeah, I'm glad to be here and I'm glad to have heard the shares. Thanks for letting me check in and share.
Thank you so much, Lee S. in New Mexico. Next, we are going to go to Maryland, Trudy B. Please join us and share. Trudy, star one to unmute, please.
Yeah, hi. This is Trudy B.
Great.
From Maryland. I thought I was unmuted.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Welcome to all the newcomers, and thank you, everybody, for the service. This is such a good meeting. You know, my husband always, he looks like he runs around with a mirror or something, just evaluating everything that I do. So I don't want to treat nobody else like that. I was telling him yesterday when he was sitting down beside me, he was saying something about something I wasn't doing or something. And, so, you know, most of the time I just tune them all out. We've been married our anniversary. We're coming up on our anniversary. 3 years, and I love him and I'm grateful for him, but you know, I just pray for him because there's nothing else. Sometimes people with critical spirits, you know, that like to criticize everything everybody else is doing. You know, I can't control him, and I have to tolerate his behavior as well. So anyway, but my son, he went down to Florida to see his children. He stayed down there for about a month. He came back, and I looked at him, and he said to me, he said, "Yes, Ma, I have gained some weight." And, you know, but I just looked. But, you know, he knows that that's how I am. That's why he said that. Because I'm always saying that, you know, well, you need to lose some weight. But, you know, OA has taught me, mind my own business, and other programs as well. Mind your own business. So I didn't say anything. But just like he gained it, he came on my house the other day, and he's lost it, and he's still losing it. So I am so powerless over him and running his life, but I'm glad that he did that. And I'm also, he's an alcohol syndrome baby. And I'm also powerless over the decisions that he make in his life. He needs surgery on his throat, and I am learning how to let him go as far as, you know, going to the doctor. They have transportation for him. And, you know, I just told him, he called me and he said, well, you know, they told me I was going to have to go to Baltimore to have this operation. And I said, okay, if they don't have any ear, nose, and throat doctors here in this area, he said, well, you know, he lives in a senior citizens building, you know, for people on disability. So he said, well, most of the people in here, they go down to Baltimore. And I said, well, okay, then if you need me to help you with anything as far
That's
as making an appointment, I'm going to close it up. I said, you can call me. But I told him, I said, go ahead and call down there, because I usually try to make all his appointments. But I need to let go of him and let him make his own appointments and say to him, just like I said, if you need any help, give me a call. I'm going to pass. Thank you, everybody. Really good meeting.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Trudy. Next, we have Nancy LJ in California. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be on the line. Another fantastic reading. And I just, we are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. You know, as a compulsive overeater, I don't have that, quote, dubious luxury of being intolerant or judging. You know, of course, I am human like everybody else, and these thoughts pop up. But the beautiful thing about this program is I recognize them now. And on page 64 in the big book, on the third paragraph, just going to quote, it says, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stem, all forms of spiritual disease, for we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. And I thought of this today because this intolerance, this hatred of whatever institution stirs up these resentments. So it's just finding balance. And I'm just putting it out there this morning. I'm asking for tolerance to not be judgmental, to be easy and kind and soft. That's a spiritually healthy place for me. And I want to be of loving service today. So with that, I'll pass. Nancy J. in California. Thank you.
Susan, I think you're muted.
Oh, sorry. I was going to, thank you. We have about a minute and a half. Whoever's voice I hear first gets that time. So if you've
Polly
been holding
Q.
back. Great. Go, Polly.
Hi. Polly Q, recovered 8 years. You know, I had an argument with my son this morning over something we've had an argument over many times. It's not about food addiction, but it doesn't really matter because it took me till the end of this meeting to realize that if I want someone's behavior or opinions to align with mine, the worst thing I can do is start to tell them that they're not doing it my way, that they're not thinking my way, because then they don't trust me. And I feel the same way when somebody does it towards me. I had all kinds of people try to help me with my weight. And it never helped. In fact, it generally made things worse because the disease took over and it made me oblivious to it. You know what I mean? That it's a disease. Love and tolerance has to be our code, no matter how much we think we're right, no matter how much we think we're helping, no matter how afraid we are. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, before we close out here for the morning, thank you to Team Wednesday, Leslie, Julie E.B., Shelley E., Laurie T., Kathleen C. Please stay on with Alex K. and Robin P., especially if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., would you please take us out with a vision for you? Thank you.
Hey, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.